I know everybody probably knows what the shortest verse in the Bible is. Anybody got a guess? Jesus wept. Very good. And we're going to talk about another short verse in the Bible. And it's instead of just two words, it's actually three words. Anybody got a guess? It's in Luke 17. And what is it? Remember Lot's wife. And now, sometimes when we're told to remember things, it's so we can learn things from them. Sometimes we're told to remember things because it's the way that we're not supposed to do it. Sometimes we're saying, okay, remember how so-and-so did it, so you can do it that way. And here, I don't think that's what it's talking about when it comes to Lot's wife. The morning we're going to look at a little bit, and it's kind of interesting. So what are we supposed to remember about Lot's wife? And there's a lot of different things I think you can, but one of the things that reminds me most about Lot's wife is she had a number of warnings, or at least warning signs, that she just ignored. And I think in the day and time we live in, there's a lot of warning signs of things going on in the world today, but it seems like so many people are just still ignoring them. If you consider what it's been like in the last 21 years, how things have changed dramatically, and just this happened, and this happened, and this happened, you would never even imagine it as a movie or a book because of the fact you would have said that's too unrealistic. But in the day and time we live in, all those things have happened, and it's only going to get worse. Things are only going to get as it gets time for the Lord coming back. And once again, no one knows the day or the hour, but at the same time, there's a lot of different signs that have been given. And I believe that we're closer, obviously, today than we were yesterday, and he could come back at any moment in time. But the question is, are we ready? And there's different warnings that people ignore. And I was looking through, and I saw some different warning signs out there that people put out there, and sometimes people put red lights out there, and sometimes people ignore those. Sometimes when it comes to health, if something starts hurting in your body, your chest starts hurting, and people sometimes ignore that because they don't want to go to the doctors. There's different warning signs that we need to take heed to. And don't get me wrong, I know there's some warning signs you don't think is really that important, and especially with today, everybody trying to tell you, you need to do this, and you need to do that. You got to be willing to say, okay, what warning signs should I be paying attention to? The great thing in the Bible, there's plenty of warnings out there that we should be paying attention to. And when it says, remember Lot's wife, Jesus is here and he is teaching about his second coming. And as he's teaching about his second coming, he's talking about the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And inside this, he's giving a picture of how things were bad and people were living wickedly and that there was destruction that was coming and that there was warnings that was given and it was completely ignored. It just happened just like that. At least that's the image that's portrayed there despite the warnings. Look what it says here in Luke chapter number 17. We're going to start here and we'll probably go to Genesis chapter 13. Look at the story a little bit as we look at the sermon. Remember Lot's wife. Verse number 22 in the Bible says, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, see there, and go not after them, nor follow them. So what the Bible is saying that about the day of Jesus' return, there could be skeptics out there and say, well, he hasn't returned. He hasn't done this. Not there. And he says, don't worry about them. Don't follow them. He says, for as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Talking about the cross there. You know, the disciples, the followers, they were saying he's the next Messiah. He is going to save us from physical bondage. Christ came first to seeking to save that which was lost. And so that's what he did. He suffered the cross. And it says in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, with the thought here is the days of Noah, there was wickedness. There's great violence all around. Man's mind was on evil imaginations all the time. Things were just wrong and wicked in the day and time they lived in. Kind of reminds us of a lot of things going on today. There's a lot of wickedness and a lot of evilness on people's minds today. But look at how they looked at it. During the days of Noah, they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Here's the thought is that even though Noah for over 100 years preached and tried to call people to repentance and tried to call people, hey, there's a rain coming, there's a flood coming, they mocked him. They didn't listen to the warning that was given. And the day it happened, it was a surprise for them. And keep on going. It says, even though they had been warned, it was still something. They didn't change their ways. They kept on doing exactly what they thought they should be doing until the flood came. And it says, destroyed them all. You can sit there and think about that for a moment. You know, only those that were allowed left on the ark was the only human beings that survived. Sometimes we like to think, oh, God's not going to punish everyone. You know, God's not going to send someone to hell or vice versa. It says there that if you consider every human besides those that were on the ark, gone. That's a sobering thought. They had a warning, but they ignored the warning. Let's keep on going. Not only does it say in the days of Noah, but also says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and the stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then there's the comment or the verse, remember Lot's wife. And how Lot's wife is famous for looking back. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts today. I pray we really give some good consideration about the different warnings that maybe are coming up in our lives. Lord, throughout the whole Word of God, there are so many different instructions, commandments that you've given us. There is warnings about things that will happen if we do not follow certain ways. But it seems like we get so mixed up with the things that's going on around us that we ignore those warnings. God, I pray you help us to remember Lot's wife. And when we remember her, it was someone who ignored many warnings in her life and ended up in tragedy. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm going to kind of think that you know a little bit about Lot and his family and what happened to Lot and his family. And as we look at this, I want you to think about, don't ignore God's warnings. There's a lot of warnings out there. There's a lot of warning signs that's out there. And some of those signs you look at and you're like, okay, that's something I need to pay attention to. There's a red light there. There's cars coming. I need to stop. Other warning signs say sometimes are silly or sometimes just aren't necessary. You may ignore those. But remember, when you ignore a warning, there could be a consequence that comes about with that. Here you say, well, Pastor, why in the world would someone ignore a warning from the Bible? The Bible says, be not deceived. It talks about how we reap what we sow. There are so many different times in the Bible, in the scriptures, where he says there is a warning out there. For instance, Amos 4:12 is one of those warnings. It says, prepare to meet thy God. So that's an encouragement, but that's a warning. What does that mean? When you say prepare to meet thy God, and usually whenever I do a funeral service, somewhere inside that, I use that in there because it's one of the strongest phrases in all the Bible. Are you prepared to meet God someday? The reality the Bible teaches is that each person and one judgment or another will stand before God someday. Are you prepared to meet him? Or number one, I'm not asking if you're prepared to die. I'm not asking if you got your funeral arrangements ready. I'm not asking if you got everything lined up and everybody knows the passwords and know all the things. No, I'm not asking that. I'm saying someday you'll stand before God. And when you stand before God, what will you be standing in? In Christ's righteousness or your own? And that's why I encourage people at a day when we're celebrating someone's death, sometimes people give me a little bit of a hard time and says, why do you make it so dramatic? It's because at a funeral, sometimes you'll have people that will never show up at church any other time, but just for that type of service. And what better time to consider that that person is going to meet God, and someday you'll meet God also. Have you repented of your sins? Have you cried out to God? Have you saw yourself that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior? And by faith, put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's what I mean by, are you prepared to meet God? First and foremost, do you know him personally? Are you going to be able to go to heaven someday based off of your faith that you place in Jesus Christ? Because that's what true preparation to meet God is. I'm prepared to meet him because I put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. But also there's the idea of being preparation. You don't want to be ashamed of his coming. You want to be prepared in the fact that you've served him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. But at the same time, are you prepared to meet him? There's warnings in the Bible, like in Deuteronomy, where it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." And I love the simplicity of the Bible. Many times people are like, "I don't understand all of it." Well, if you obey the stuff you know, guess what? You're going to do really well. If we will look at the things, and lots of times people like to try to pick apart certain things and bring certain issues up. And I love talking about the Bible. I love learning about the deep things of the Bible. But God says here, I'm putting in front of you two choices. There's a blessing and there's a curse. If you obey God, you're going to get a blessing. If you disobey God, you're going to get a curse. And he's telling the nation of Israel this in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's the same thing to us as individuals today. If we want to obey the Lord, he says, I'm going to be able to bless your life. If you don't want to obey the Lord, you're going to receive a curse. So why doesn't everybody obey God? The answer is easy. It's right there. I want a blessing. But the reality is many of us don't. And when we consider, remember Lot's wife, there's some things I want you to think about in Lot's story that is interesting. Go ahead and take your Bible to Genesis chapter number 13. Don't know how much of we will be reading, but we'll make a couple references there to try, hopefully, to help us understand a little bit more about the story. As the story goes along, Abram, who we know also as Abraham later on in his life, and Sarai and Sarah are going to where God has called them. God said, hey, I want you to go to a land. And he said, I'll show it to you. And you can imagine Abram that day following the Lord, going home and telling his wife, hey, God's called us somewhere else. And she's like, where? He's like, I don't know, but pack up, we're going anyway. I can imagine that would have been an interesting conversation to have with your wife, but it's the same thing that's going on. He takes Lot with them, and while there, God blesses Abram. It says in chapter 13, verse number 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south, and Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. So they had a lot of different things, but there was a problem amongst Abram and Lot's herdsmen. Look what it says in verse number 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. It's talking about a problem amongst brothers. It says in verse number 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. It's a great passage of scripture talking about how family should get along. Now, Abraham is the uncle, Lot is the nephew, but at the same time, he's talking about a brother relationship in our church family. And it's about, hey, look, we're brothers. We should make sure there's no strife going on. And the main reason why we should see no strife, because God tells us to, but also for the examples of others. In verse number 7 at the end, it says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. He says, look, Lot, we shouldn't be having problems with one another. Your herdsmen, my herdsmen, we should get along. And because we get along, everyone else can see that, hey, we serve the one true God. And as we serve the one true God, they're going to want to serve our God too because of how well we get along and because of how we treat others. And Abram, it seemed like the strife got so tense and got so sharp that Abram makes an offer to him. Look what it says in verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. He says, look, instead of us living in strife, it's better that we separate. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart the right hand, then I will go to the left. As I was studying and as I was reading, if you go back, and I don't know that much about it, so I'm just going to talk about what I heard. The example that's given here, based off of the direction, Abram never offered Lot to go to Sodom. He says, if you go this way, I'll go the other way. None of those directions were towards Sodom. He was giving him a direction that was there, but he wasn't offering him to go to a place that was wicked. Now, Abram was the one that was the leader. Abram was the one that, only reason why Lot is blessed here is because of Abram. In all reality, Abram's looking out for Lot, but who's Lot looking out for? Himself, Lot and his family. So it says in verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, even before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So there's a description that's given here. Lot's looking, and he begins the description there. Hey, look, this is a wonderful land. It's a beautiful land. It's just like the Garden of Eden. Now, Lot had never seen the Garden of Eden, but it was something that was that beautiful. And also a lot like Egypt, which was a very, as according to the description, a beautiful land. So here's the question I come to, and I want to think about this morning a little bit. All the way in Luke chapter number 17, Jesus himself says, remember Lot's wife. Why in the world do we need to remember her? And I believe it's because of the fact that Lot's wife had warning sign after warning sign after warning sign and still never got it. And I think sometimes, just like in the days of Noah, there was groups of people that turned around and then they didn't realize they were going to get destroyed until that day, no matter what the preaching and teaching of Noah was. Just like in the days of Lot, it says they rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, but they didn't even realize it until Lot had left. And I don't want us to be taken by surprise the day that Christ calls his church home. I don't want us to be surprised by the fact that things may get worse and worse, and things, the waxing of the worse and evil might be greater. I don't want us to be surprised because I don't want us to ignore the warning signs of what's happening in this world, number one. But number two, I don't want us to ignore the warning signs of day-by-day Christian living that's found all throughout the Word of God. I mean, God told Adam and Eve, hey, don't partake of the fruit, but what did they do? They partook of the fruit. And you look at that time and time. He says to Achan, he tells the children of Israel, don't touch anything out of Jericho. But what happens? They touch. He tells Peter, he looks to Peter, who Peter's saying, I love you. I'm never going to leave you. They might deny you. I won't deny you. He looks at him and he says, you're going to deny me thrice tonight. And he's like, nope. What greater warning could you have gotten than that? He's sitting there saying, I love you, you're the Messiah, I'll never deny you, I'll never forsake you. Everybody else might, but not me. And the Lord says to him, hey, look, I want you to pay attention here. You're going to deny me three times tonight. He's like, not going to do it. And I think the problem is there are so many things found in that book that we just ignore the warnings. But the question is why? Why in the world did Lot's wife ignore all the warning signs? And there's some different things here. This is not all original with me. There's some things I heard and read that I enjoyed that I thought would be good for you, and what the Lord laid upon my heart about these warning signs. Why in the world did Lot's wife, what should we remember? The first thing I want to think about, and once again, it's not just about Lot's wife. Lot also made the mistake, and Lot's wife followed him, but she was the one that looked back. As they let Egypt get into their hearts. Why in the world did they not obey God? And when God sent two angels, and as the story goes along, if you read, it says in verse number 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So they did separate, and keeps on going. Verse number 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So we don't have time to go through chapters 12 all the way through chapter number 19, but he goes there. He pitches tent towards Sodom. Next time we hear about him, Lot has been captured by a group of people. Abram goes and saves him. Later on, Lot is there. God sends two angels to go and warn Lot and warn Lot's family. Lot is no longer outside of Sodom. He's actually in Sodom. He's sitting in the gate, which is a place of leadership and authority. So not only is he living outside, he's living amongst them. He has become someone who has accepted their sin. And then while there are these two men that look like two angels that look like men come, Lot sees, recognizes who they are, asks Lot. Lot asks him and says, hey, look, let's come stay at my house. He said, no, we'll stay in the streets. But Lot knows how wicked people are. While there, the men of the city come and pound at Lot's door. They want the two angels to come out so they can know them in immoral and disgusting ways. And as the story goes along, he blinds the crowd there. The two angels say to Lot and his family, let's get out of this place. Tomorrow God's going to destroy it. Lot actually goes and talks to some of his son-in-law, say, hey, look, and he gives a warning. Hey, look, there's a warning. Let's get out of this place. God's going to destroy it. He says that they mock him. They laugh at him. They don't believe the warning. Why is it that they don't believe his warning? It's because Lot never listened to any of God's warnings before. He didn't live for God at any point other time in his life. So when he went and said, God spoke to me, they're like, yeah, right. Why would God speak to you? You're the judge inside this wicked city. Why now you say that we leave, but that's another point to the story. So as the time goes along, why in the world would Lot and Lot's wife choose Sodom despite the warnings? First thing I want you to think about is they let Egypt get into their hearts. They let Egypt get in their hearts. Now remember, Egypt is always in the Bible a sign of the world. So it's the thought there that they let the world get into their heart. So why do we choose to ignore God's warning sometimes? When God says, hey, you're going to reap what you sow. Hey, you need to be careful. Don't set any wicked thing before your eye. Hey, you need to do this. You need to do that. How come sometimes we choose to ignore God's warnings, even though they're clearly in the Bible? Hey, I'll give you a blessing. I'll give you a curse. Why is it? It's because sometimes the world gets a little bit too much in our heart. We chose to live the things of this world more than the things of God. And that's what happens with Lot, as you read in the story that we read earlier. It says it was like, in verse number 10, like the land of Egypt. So he looks, and Abram says, hey, look, you can go this way, you can go that way. Lot turns around, and he sees this land, and it's a beautiful land. It's something he's seen before. He's eyeing it up, and it reminds him of how beautiful things was in Egypt, and it reminds him how good things were. And in all reality, things weren't good in Egypt for him. Abram was not perfect because of the famine. He didn't follow the Lord. He went down to Egypt and even lied and all those different other things. But while in Egypt, they got a taste of Egypt. They got a taste of the world. They got a taste of the way things looked. And they didn't have to be out there in this other area. It looked like everything was going to be simpler over here. And they said, instead of ignoring Abram's warning, Abram's like, hey, you can go this way or this way. He says, oh, I don't want either one of those way. I want that. I want to encourage you today. Sometimes the reason why a Christian will ignore the warnings of God is because they love this world a little too much. They love the things of this world too much. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And we must remember that he had set his affection not on things above, not on things that God wants, but he set his affections on the things of this world. It talks about in the Bible, set your affections on things above. And so many times the reason why we choose, even though God warns us and God says, hey, you need to make sure you do this, and we choose to ignore the warning, is because we let the world into our heart a little too much. Now, you go back and you think, Pastor, you say all these warnings. Well, you think about it. Not only did they choose to go to Sodom based off of what Abram has said, go the other way. Later on, they see the wickedness that's there. And it says, even specifically, it says in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Still, that did not bother Lot and his wife. They chose to live in sin because of the fact that they were enjoying the benefits of it. The second thing I want you to think about, not only is they had Egypt in their hearts, they were more concerned about building a life than building an altar. They were more concerned about building a life than building an altar. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? They looked and they chose, hey, I'm going over there. The one thing you never see Lot do is pray. He says, remember Lot's wife. Well, once again, she's the one that turned around. She's the one that had Egypt in her heart. She's the one, her husband, it says that you never see him pray. If you go and you read through the chapters beforehand, every time Abram got to a place, you know what he did? He built an altar. He prayed. And he built an altar and he prayed. He built an altar and prayed. Lot is facing one of the biggest decisions of his life. He's leaving his uncle for what we know of the first time, the person who has blessed Lot. And he has these great herds because of his uncle. Instead of saying to his uncle, hey, uncle, you've done all this for me. You've been a blessing to me. You've been an encouragement to me. I want to stay with you because I know I'm blessed because of you. We can work this out amongst our herdsmen. They work for us anyway. We'll do whatever. He doesn't do that. It doesn't say to Abram, hey, you pick the way, I'll go whatever way you think I should. He doesn't. He doesn't take the time to stop and pray either. He sees what he thinks is best for his life instead of saying what is best for my family. He sees what physically and financially looks the best and most interesting. And the reason why people sometimes will not obey the warnings that are found in the Word of God and not obey the warnings that's found in the Bible, because they're more interested in building a life than building an altar. They're more interested in building what's best for them physically than saying what's best for my family spiritually. They're more interested in saying, this looks like the easy route, instead of saying, God, which route do you want me to take? Because when we ask God that, he sometimes shows us things that we need to learn, that we're forsaking the warning sign. So I think when we remember Lot and remember Lot's wife, we need to remember the reason why they chose to break the warning was because they had the world or Egypt in their heart. They were more interested in building a life than an altar. They allowed strife to establish their direction. They allowed strife to establish their direction. It's kind of interesting. Is Lot coming up to Abram, or is Abram going to Lot? Abram's coming to Lot and speaking. He wants peace. He wants anything that we do through strife or vainglory is usually a very fleshly decision. Anything we do through strife or vainglory is usually going to be a fleshly decision. And so sometimes when we allow strife to guide the way we're going to live, you know what happens? We forsake a lot of warnings. The Bible tells us about relationships. The Bible tells us that we should forgive one another. The Bible tells us if we have a fault with one another, we should go to somebody and we should try to gain and for reconciliation. The Bible tells us all those things, but we ignore it. How can we ignore the warnings of God? It's because we let strife and we let hard feelings direct our relationships instead of God's words. Even though he says, let no corrupt communications come out of your mouth. Even though he says in his word about the importance of dwelling in unity. Even though he says about the importance of a church family. Even though he tells us how we should treat others. We ignore those warnings. Why is it? Because we let strife and we let hard feelings dictate the way that we're going. He said, why in the world would he ignore the warnings? Because of the fact he had the world in his heart still. Why in the world would she ignore the warning of the angel? It's because of the fact that the world was still there. She was interested in it. She wasn't interested in what God had said. She didn't believe that God was going to destroy the city. She didn't believe that if she would turn around, anything would happen. She thought she could do what she wanted without any type of repercussion. And she learned that she was wrong. But she learned too late. She thought that, he thought that the strife was worth giving up a good family. They were blinded by selfishness. You know, Abram was looking after Lot. Lot was not looking after Abram. And sometimes when we look something selfishly, we just ignore the warnings. How is this going to affect me? I know God says I'm supposed to do it this way, but it's not right for my family. That's good for you. That's good for somebody else. And we ignore the warnings that God says about reading your Bibles and not reading your Bibles and not praying and not drawing near to him. And sometimes we sell our family short and we sell our church family short because we're selfish, because we want things our own way so much that we're willing to stay in sin. Not only that, we also see they made decisions by sight instead of faith. What do you mean? He didn't listen to what God wanted. He saw something. He lifted up his eyes and he says, this makes more sense. I got to go this way. So why in the world do we not have, why do we ignore warnings in the Bible sometimes? It's because the world's got a hold of us a little too much. Because we let our hard feelings and strife make decisions. Because we look at sight. He says he lifted up his eyes and he ignored spiritual counsel. Why is it? Because of the fact that he wanted to live according to his own ways. Say, Pastor, how does this apply to me? You talk about Lot. You talk about Lot's wife. How can I apply this to my life today? I think it's really simple. Are you ignoring some type of warning sign? I don't know about you, but sometimes I've heard more than once, my chest was hurting a little bit. I just didn't want to go to the doctors. They end up in the hospital because of a heart attack. I don't like going to the doctors. It's uncomfortable. They make you do this, they make you do that. I don't want anybody making a big fuss of me. And we ignore our physical body sometimes to the point that we hurt ourselves. And I understand modern medicine. They say doctors practice medicine. I get that there's some good doctors out there. There's some doctors out there I prefer not to go to. I get all that. I don't want all that. I understand all that. But there's warnings that sometimes we ignore in our physical lives that we need to be careful with. But there's so many warnings in our spiritual life that we ignore. Is there something God's been speaking to your heart today about? Is there a warning that God says, hey, I want you to pray without ceasing, and we haven't prayed for such a long time, and God's saying, hey, you're you're heading down the wrong path, but you're not listening because you're not hearing from me. And the Bible talks about hiding God's word in our heart that we not sin against them. What happens when we don't hide God's word in our heart? We're going to sin against them. And it's filled, and that's what some people don't like about the Bible, because it's got story after story after story that God warns the individual and warns the people, and they just choose to ignore it. Think about for a second Lot's wife. She's there with Abram. She sees Abram and Sarah. They're not perfect examples, but God blesses them. Then later on, they go to they pitch their tent toward Sodom. I think it's chapter number 14. There's a group of people that come. They capture Abram. They take Sarah. They take They capture Lot and his wife and their children, and they capture him. They're taking them off as slaves. What happens? Somebody comes and talks to Abram, the Hebrew, the one who believes in the one true God. Abram gets a group of men that's ready from his group and some of the other outlying areas, and they go and they capture Lot. And they claim Lot. They rescue Lot. They rescue Lot's family. They rescue all Sodom, and they rescue all the things that were taken away. And they come back. Don't you think that would be a warning sign to Lot, to Lot's wife? Hey, you're not doing right. And I'm sure Abram was there, and Abram was saying, hey, look, come back with us. You don't need to be with them. They're wicked. They're living wickedly. They're doing wrong. You shouldn't be there with them. But no, they go along their merry way. They go back to their life of sin. They go back to their life of transgressions, and they forget all about it. Then God sends angels based off of Abram's prayers to Lot and to his wife and says, let's get out of this city because God's going to rain fire and brimstone down. And still Lot's wife turns around and says, I can't. I love the city too much. She had too much to love the world in her heart. She loved that city so much that she no longer believed God's word. And because she no longer believed God's word, it says she became a pillar of salt. It's when a Christian allows sin to get into their heart or allows this world to get in their heart so much that they no longer believe and trust in what God says. And when God says, be sure your sin will find you out, and when God says things about his return, when God says, we no longer live our lives acting like we believe it. We feel like we can sin and sin and sin and suffer no type of repercussions. I think about the story that's found in all throughout the Old Testament about the nation of Israel. They were told as a nation, he says to them in Jeremiah 6:10, he says, to whom shall I speak and give warning? Jeremiah's, the story was, you're going to be sent into slavery unless you change, that they may hear. Now listen to what it says here. Behold, their ears uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Listen to that verse again, Jeremiah 6:10. To whom shall I speak and give warning? He's like, who am I going to give warning to? He's speaking to the nation of Israel. Who am I going to give warning to? That they may hear. Behold, their ears uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. They had got, the nation of Israel had so many times let the world into their heart, false gods into their heart, to the point that they said, no longer are we going to listen to God's warning. No longer are we going to pay attention to God's warning. Instead of them having a delight in God's word, it becomes a reproach to them. And how often is it as us, as believers and Christians, that when we let the world in too much, or we start living by sight instead of by faith, we become so concerned about building our lives, we forget about praying and seeking God, that God's word is no longer a delight to us, it is instead a reproach. We would never say it's a reproach, would we? We would just say it's hard. We would say it's tough. We might say the word of God's inconvenient because I don't get to do my sin. I don't get to look at what I want to look at. I don't get to wear what I want to wear. I don't get to listen to what I want to. It's inconvenient to me. And what he's saying is, who's going to listen to my warning anymore? He said their ears are uncircumcised. He says, instead of the word of God being a delight, instead of being a lamp, instead of it being something that we cherish and something we hide in our heart, it's become a reproach, and it's become something that's too heavy for us. Oh, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to read that. It's because truth's in there, and it gives us warnings. And because it gives us warnings, we have to realize I'm ignoring that warning. We've seen so many families. We've seen so many individuals. We've seen our own nation turn its back on God. And the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And we see all the things that happen in this world. But just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Lot, Christ is going to return and no one's going to even think about it. They're all going to be surprised. I know, so you say, Pastor, I'm here. I'm listening. I understand that. But that's the world we live in today. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is the reproach to any people. But how come we as believers are sitting by and staying silent and we're ignoring the warnings that God is giving to us? And he's putting flashing lights up sometimes. Hey, you need to forgive. You need to stop sinning. You need to do this. You need to do that. And we ignore the warning sign time and time and time again to the point it becomes a reproach. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm tired of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm done with it. Instead of God's word being a delight, it becomes a weight that we want to discard and just say, I'm tired of hearing the warnings. But thankfully, God continues to give us those warnings over and over again. I'm thankful for all the things that God has allowed to happen to kind of perk our interest, to cause us to wake up and say, we need revival today. This world needs Christ. It's got a lot of political problems, but it has more spiritual problems. And the truly answer is Jesus Christ. But why isn't the church standing up and saying, I can make a difference. I can do things in this world and I can reach the world for Jesus Christ? It's because the church has too much of the world in its heart. Church is more interested sometimes in building a life than building an altar. They allow strife and hard feelings to influence the direction more than the Holy Spirit of God. And we've come to the point is, how can I get affected about this? How does this ministry make me feel instead of saying, what could God want me to have? We ignore spiritual warnings. We distance ourselves from those who tell us the truth. That's what Abram and Sarah was trying to do. And Lot and his wife says, nope, see you later. Not going to listen to someone who's going to tell me the truth. I'm going to listen to someone who's going to tell me what I want to hear. I'm going to listen to someone tell me, this is what I want, instead of saying, this is what the Word of God says. Be careful as we give warnings. There are some that we should listen to and some that we shouldn't. I'm sure there's a group of people in Lot's life, and when he came back and was saved by Abraham and his group, they were saying, come on, Lot, come on back with us. Hey, we didn't lose any money. We didn't lose any stuff. That guy Abraham said he didn't want any of that stuff. Isn't that foolish? The king of Sodom offered him all this stuff, and Abraham's like, I don't want a piece of that. I'm not going to let you be able to say that you made me something great when God's the one that made me great. And there's plenty of people saying, hey, come on. And they're giving, you don't have to worry. And God's word is flashing and saying, there's a problem. There's something that we need to change. There's a warning sign. I thought about warning signs to individuals and nations. And I think about the warning sign to the church. I love the passage in Revelation chapter number 2. Where it says, talking about the church of Ephesus in verses 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, talks about all the great things about the church of Ephesus. But he comes and he gives them a warning. He says, there's something that's wrong though. He says, I know thy work, I know thy labor, I know thy patience. He says, but you've lost your first love. You're doing it for all the wrong reasons. You've come to the point where it's no longer a labor of love, it's no longer a work of faith, it's no longer a patience of hope. You do it out of routine over and over, and if you don't get it right, I'm going to remove the candlestick. What does that mean? He says, I'm going to remove the blessing. I'm going to remove the power of God from you. I'm not going to bless it anymore. The church is still going to be there. The church is going to still continue on and on, but God won't be there. In that same chapter, he talked about how I stand at the door and knock and talk about supping. And we even used that a few weeks ago when we brought the table out. And he's saying that there's people out there that are not willing to invite me in. There's people who are not willing to sup with me. Talking about churches that leave Christ out. Those are all warning signs. If you stay like that, if you don't remember your first love, if you don't repent, if you don't get it right, I'm going to take my power away. I'm going to take my blessing away. No longer will you have real church. That's a warning. But how many of us say, I want to be a part of a church that's alive and that loves God and serves for the right reasons, that I'm willing to pray, I'm willing to witness, I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to make sure my heart is right and in love with God, so that way our church could be a church that's right and in love with God. So when he uses these words, remember Lot's wife, I know there's a lot of different things you could pull out of it. But what I remember is all the warning signs. She was with a couple that loved God, and she ignored the spiritual guidance. She was taken and captured as a slave, and who knows what could have happened to her in those days or what was going to happen to her. But God rescued her through Abram and ignored that warning sign. And God had even sent two angels to tell their family, up, get thee out of here. And she said, I gotta look one last time. She ignored the warning over and over and over again and destroyed her and destroyed her family too. Today, I wonder what God's been speaking to your heart. And I know he speaks to my heart about things. He speaks to my heart about things that I need to work on or things I need to get right. And warning signs that your relationship with your family is not going to get better until you do this. Or your relationship with so-and-so not going to get better until you take scriptural steps. You're not going to love me more until you read your Bible. You're not going to do this. Your relationship is suffering. And you know your church, all those different things, he speaks to us each individually. Stop ignoring the warning signs. Remember Lot's wife. She ignored the warning signs. And in the end, it cost her. Don't ignore the warning signs that God's speaking to your heart. Maybe he's saying, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to stop doing this. And we ignore it. We ignore it. We ignore it. But don't ignore the warning signs. Let's pray.